Well, it is absolutely tremendous to be here. We can hardly believe that we're over in Texas. It's our great privilege to be here. I'm trying to talk slow. I don't always talk like that. But I can only say it's a great joy to be here and to renew fellowship with Jim Byington as well, and Mike and his wife. We're staying with them, so please pray for them. Their sanctification will be tested. We had a visitor from America staying with us, and he says visitors after 3 days are like visitors are like fish. After 3 days, they stink. We're staying with them for 10 days, so please pray for them. It is great to be here, and I can honestly say I come in fear and trembling because I feel that there is probably better people sitting here tonight who could deal with this subject far greater than me. I was saying to Mike about Aberdeen Angus Steaks. I'm sure you know of Aberdeen Angus Steaks. No? Aberdeen Angus Steaks is a very good quality steak. Well, Texas Steak, I get told about Texas Steaks are supposed to be £32. That's what I was told in Scotland. Well, what I feel is, you could maybe have somebody sitting here who could do a greater job than me. And the way I can illustrate it is, there maybe be a sirloin steak sitting there, and you've called for a McDonald's Happy Meal. And there's nothing wrong with McDonald's. I know there's somebody in here with McDonald's. But honestly, that's the way I feel. But I'm here, I'm not a historian. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. And I'd just like to share with you some of the things that happened to our brothers and sisters in Christ years ago for your freedom and for my freedom. I've brought some freebies with us. That's free gifts. I went to Edinburgh and took some photographs and got them printed up. They're up the back of the church. First come, first serve. That's John Knox's house in Edinburgh. That's in Greyfriars, where the Covenanters used to meet and where they're also put in prison. That's a stone telling you about all the Covenanters there as well, and some of them are buried there. Please help yourself. That's the pulpit where the covenant was signed in 1638. If you get your magnifying glass, that's what it tells you there. That's up the back as well. And there's also a man will be speaking about people tomorrow night, God willing, who went through terrible things for their faith. One of the preachers was a great man called Sandy Peden, poor old Sandy, or Peden the prophet. Now, he was so well known, and there was a bounty in his head, and he made a mask so that people wouldn't know who he was. And the mask is in the museum in Edinburgh. And he used to wear this mask, and he had a wig on as well, and so that people wouldn't recognise him and they could go about with freedom. An artist drew that wig and mask, and I've taken photographs of them. You'll hear about this man tomorrow night, but they're worth taking because he was a mighty, mighty man of God, and there's some photographs up there. They're all free, help yourself. There's only one condition. If you take them, and whenever you look at them, pray that I would know the blessing of the Lord upon my ministry. That's only cost. Also as well, that's a magazine of the church where we minister in. There's three magazines up the back. If you want to know a bit about us, please help yourself to them. They're up the back. I've also brought a book. I'm willing to give you a loan it, and I want it back before I go back to Scotland. It's about Scots worthies, about men that God used in Scotland, and this was printed in 1846, and a great friend of mine, a man who is a firebrand for God, and we're lacking men like this who had the anointing of God upon them and preached Christ. And it's lovely to see his daughter up the back here, She's from Scotland. Away at the very, very top, Johnny Groats. His daughters and son-in-law's come to see, and their two lovely daughters. Jackie Ritchie gave me this as a gift, and but I'd like to, if ended, like to have a look at it. It's amazing how God used different people. And if you'd like to borrow that, you're more than welcome to have a look at it. But I go home a week tomorrow, and I want it back, okay? So, before we get any further, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come before you in the precious and powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we don't worship a God that begins with a small g. We worship the God that begins with a capital G. We thank you that we worship the one who says, "Let there be," and there was. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we worship the one who inhabits eternity and whose name is holy. And as we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have given us freedom to come into your presence, all because of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we know our sins are forgiven, not because of anything we've accomplished ourselves, but all because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that we know that we've been redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. So, Father, as we come before you, we pray that you'd help us. We pray that you'd speak to us tonight. We pray that you'd minister to us. And, Father, that you would stir up our hearts to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That you would come, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That, Father, that we would know the anointing of God upon us. That we would know the help from heaven. And, Father, that we would leave tonight saying it was good to dwell in the house of God because God was with us. And, Father, we know that no flesh shall glory in your presence. So we pray that tonight Jesus would be exalted, that he would be uplifted, and he would get all the praise. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, and powerful name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said in Timothy, "In fact, anyone who wants to live godly, a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." If anyone wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, they will suffer persecution. And I believe the reason we're not suffering persecution today is because the house of God is asleep. We have let go of our standards. We have lost the ground spiritually. And we're not truly living the way that we should be living according to the Word of God. We say we love Jesus. We say that we love him. But our life is portraying something totally different. And today in Scotland, we need God. And I'm sure you can say the same for America. We need God to come. Because no new games, no new gimmicks, no new ideas are going to change our land. The only way our land is going to be changed if God comes, if God moves and God changes our hearts, beginning with the children of God. Because what's happening today is believers are walking as close as they can to the world. When the Bible says, "Come out from among them and be you separate," says the Lord. And we need today to be people, men and women of God, who not only say we believe in God, but we live for God. And our life portrays that we live for God. Somebody once says, "I looked for the church and I found it in the world. I looked for the world and I found it in the church." And I believe today we need the presence of God. Not religion, but we need the presence of God in our meetings. We need God to come and God to move. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I shall hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land." I know that the land in Scotland needs healed. And the only way they'll be healed is if God comes. And I'm sure you can say the same with America as well. See, we can say what we think, but we live what we believe. We can say what we think, but we really live what we believe. I can tell you I believe in Jesus. I trust the Lord. But my life can say something totally different. And I believe that we need to get back to biblical preaching and biblical living and become biblical thinkers in our walk with God. Today we're playing at Christianity. The Christians haven't got a voice. The world's got a stronger voice than the church. And why is that? Someone once says, if God had to move the Spirit of God from the church, nothing would change. And we need God to come. And I would like to talk to you about people who knew the presence of God. First of all, we'll talk about the place Scotland. Well, in the 11th century to 16th century, for five centuries, it was polluted. And I don't apologise for saying that. It was polluted with the doctrines of Rome. They believed in the Virgin Mary was a mediator. When the Bible tells us there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. They believed when the priest prayed over the bread and the cup, the wine, they believed they became the body and blood of Christ. I'm not a cannibal. I don't eat flesh. I don't drink blood. We do this in remembrance of him, but that was the doctrines that was taught. They believed in purgatory, telling people, pay into the church and your loved one will be set free through purgatory. They believed in praying for the dead. They believed that the Pope was sinless, infallible. They believed that Mass was more important than the Word of God. And that's why the land was a mess. That's why the place was rotten. Because it wasn't preaching the true Word of God. Somebody once said, when the pulpits are weak, our country is weak. When the pulpit is strong, our country is strong. And that's true. I believe when we live for God and preach the Word of God, then God blesses our land and helps us in every way. Things were bad. There was a man called Robert Lamb. He heard a friar preach and saying to the people that you can't get saved unless you pray to the saints. He interrupted the meeting and disagreed with it. And because he interrupted the meeting, he was hanged. His wife wouldn't pray to Mary and refused to pray to Mary, and they put her in a sack and threw her into the river and drowned her. In Scotland in these days, once a year, half of Scotland's wealth was gathered together and shipped off to Rome. In Scotland, there was 150 monasteries all over the land. And what happened is, the Church of Rome ruled the place. They owned the people from womb to tomb. They were in charge. Later on, there was a godly man called George Wishart, worth looking into and reading about him. He was a godly scholar, and he was burned in 1546. And before he was burned, he said, think you I fear this grim fire? I fear it not, for I will sup with my Saviour tonight. I fear it not, for I will sup with my Saviour tonight. How many of us would have given in? But here was a man saying, I don't fear the fire, because tonight I will be supping with my Saviour. A man called Walter Mill, on the 28th of August 1558, he was going to be martyred as well. And he said, as for me, he said, I am 80 years old and cannot live long because of the course of nature, but 100 better shall rise out of the ashes of my bones. Men who were not just saying what they believed in, but they lived what we believed in. And that's what we need today in our churches once again. Now, the Scottish Covenanters. Why are they called Covenanters? Because in 1638, if you read anything about the Scottish Covenanters, it says, for Christ crown and covenant. For Christ's crown and covenant. The crown was because the king of the land, he wanted to be the king of the church. He didn't all want to only be the land of the people, the king of the land, but he wanted to be the king of the church as well. And the covenanters, they were people who signed an agreement in 1638 saying, no, we disagree with this. And some people even signed their name in the covenant in their own blood. The covenanters were men and women of principle. They took their principles from the Word of God. They believed in the Word of God. They lived the Word of God. And even though the king was trying to take Christ's rightful place as the king of the church, because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Bible tells us we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter what position we hold in life. Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But here was a king trying to be the king of the church. And these people, because of the principles, biblical principles, they were not saying yes to this. They were not bowing to the king. And that's why it's important that we should remember and honour the covenanters, because they were men and women of faith. Before we get any further, how are we doing? How are we doing in our life? Do we live for God? Have we got a desire to walk with Him? Psalm 24 says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the God of his salvation. Though the biggest problem in some of the churches in Scotland, and I can say Baptist, being a Baptist, it's flesh. It's flesh. It's not the power of darkness or the work of the devil. There's believers fighting believers. And people not being obedient to the Word of God and living the way they should. And here are men and women who are willing to surrender their all and lay their life upon the altar of God for the service of God. In the 16th century, the common people were at odds with the king. The king wanted to, the covenanters wanted to worship God according to their conscience and according to Scripture. And because of this, they were persecuted. Because of this, they were thrown out of their churches. Because of this, they were thrown out of their lands. Because of this, they were rejected by society. But these men and women were willing to go through whatever they had to go through for the sake of the gospel of Christ. Is that not what we need today? Do we not need men and women like this today who are willing to stand up for truth, willing to stand up for righteousness, willing to stand up for the Word of God? I know of a church that was split. And you know why the church split? It wasn't over the charismatic movement. It wasn't over whether they're Arminian or Calvinist. Do you know why a church split? I thought it was funny but sad at the same time. Because one of the ladies, when it came to fellowship nights, this lady's home bacon was always left and nobody ate it. Is that not sad? And a church split. People heading for hell, lost in eternity, for all eternity. We're weeping and wailing the gnashing of teeth. And here the believers, the children of God, not living the way they should. The covenanters, the Scottish covenanters, were willing to give their life for truth because they believed in the truth. They believed so much so that they were willing to spill their blood for the Word of God. And how many of us, we don't even pick up the Bible. We don't even have a daily devotion with God. Somebody once says, is there enough dust in your Bible to write condemned? People gave their life so that you and I have got freedom to read the Word of God. People laid down their life so that you and I can come to the church and bring out the Word of God. Do we love the Word? Do we read it? Do we long to understand it? Well, the Scottish Covenanters were men and women who believed in the truth, but not only believed in the truth, they wanted to stand upon the truth. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's easy to quote that, but it's a lot harder to live it. John Knox, a man who was mightily used of God, who fought against the Roman Catholic ways, he gave a new dignity not only to the nation of Scotland but to the people of Scotland. And in his time the church was rotten with the beliefs of the Roman Catholic Church, and he not only believed in branch reform, just changing bits and pieces. He says that we'll get an axe to the bottom of the tree and cut it down. His views were, if the church is to be reformed, must return to the teaching of God's word and build everything on that. If the church is to be reformed, must return to the teaching of God's word and build everything on that. And brothers and sisters in Christ, if we want to see God come, if we want to see God move, we've got to believe that today as well. We've got to believe that we've got to get back to preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. How many churches do you go to today and you don't hear the word of God? The very first church I went to, do you know what I heard? You know what the sermon was all about? Keep open tidy. Don't drop litter. That's what the minister preached on. And then I went to a small Baptist church in Oban, and I heard about heaven, I heard about hell, I heard about the cross, I heard about the blood, I heard about my need of forgiveness of sins. That's what we need to do. We need to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. John Knox saw that. Unfortunately, in some of the ecumenical movements, they believe religion is like a dartboard. You've got 1 to 20, and you've got the bullseye is God. And it doesn't matter what way you come to God, long as you come to Him, and long as we hold hands and have a great time together. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And nobody can come to the Father except through Him. There is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we need to stand up and believe that. We need to preach it and tell people that we believe it's Christ is the way. We look round about us. We see other religions, and they're not frightened to spew out their garbage and what they believe in. And where is the church of God? They're sitting in the corner, just like the day before Pentecost. A wee coward bunch sitting in the corner. And here we are with the truth. We believe, we serve the God who says, let there be, and there was. We believe in the God who inhabits eternity and whose name is holy. And we should never be frightened to stand up for truth and for righteousness. Andrew Melville, a man who was willing to stand up to the king, and this is what he said to the king. Sir, there is 2 kings and 2 kingdoms in Scotland. There is James Stuart and his kingdom, and there is Jesus Christ and his kingdom, the Kirk, whose subject King James the VI is of that kingdom, not a lord, nor a head, but a humble servant. Here he was, willing to face the king, willing to tell him that he was only a servant before God, a sinner he'd been saved. And the problem was with the Scottish Covenanters, the king wanted to be the head of the church, but they believed that Christ is the head of the church. They believe that Christ was the head of the church, and so much so that they were willing to take a stand. The king was wanting to turn them in, the Scots, into like the Episcopal Church, the Church of England, where the bishops would rule, and they were just puppets for the king. He would just pick them, and they wanted this to happen in Scotland. But the Covenanters were men and women who says no. Men and women who were willing to stand up and say no. And what happened in 1637? They brought in a new book, a new prayer book or a service book. And in St. Giles in Edinburgh, Jenny Geddes, in 1637, there was this, one of the ministers there, he started using this book, and Jenny Geddes says and shouted at him, "Villain, don't dare say Mass in my lug. Villain, don't dare say Mass in my lug." An American, that is, "Please don't say Mass in my ear." Here she was, saying, "Don't come away with that in my ear." And then seemingly she threw the stool at the preacher. And that's where things started to stir up. The people of Scotland were saying, "No, the king is not the head of the church. And no, we don't want this book. It smells of the Church of England and it smells of popery. We don't want anything to do with it." And what happened is the people fought up against it, and they went against it, and they wanted nothing to do with it, and that was it, raised up the spirit and the standard in Scotland. Someone once says that raised a spirit of resentment in Scotland against errors and any attempt to set aside the basic principles that Knox and Melville had taught. The king wanted to be the head of the church. The king wanted to be Scotland like England and all be like a one church. The king wanted the prayer book to be accepted. The king wanted bishops in the church and they would just be like his puppets for him. But the church, the people of Scotland, says no. But not everybody. Because I'm sure there was like compromisers in amongst the church as well. People not all stood up, because there are those who were willing to take the easy way. But there are those who were willing to say, "No, we are living for Christ and we believe that Christ is the head of the church." And that's the same today. You get those who are willing to go through with God, willing to preach the truth, willing not to just tickle the ears of the people, willing to stand up for truth and righteousness. And then you get those who compromise the word of God. I know there is a few preachers here today. And you know, preachers, and no disrespect, are a dime a dozen. What our land needs is men of God. That's what our land needs. Men of God. I've got a friend who went to preach at a church. He's a tremendous preacher. It was a vacant church. And after it, one of the members came up and says, "You won't get called here." And my friend says, "And why not?" He says, "Because you preach with too much conviction. You preach with too much conviction." That's the state we're in. Today, people would rather their ears be tickled than tell them the truth. And that's unfortunately Christians as well. They'd rather dance with the world than walk with God. They'd rather walk down the broad road, but on a Sunday they go to church with their Bible. That's not Christianity. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Surrender your life to Him and live for Him. And the Scottish Covenanters were men and women who were willing to go through with God. And because of this, Men were kicked out of church, ripped away from their pulpits, and the men and women who believed that Christ was the head of the church, they started holding conventicles where they'd meet up in the hills, and they'd have people up in the hills looking out for if the king's guards come along. Because if you were found at a conventicle, if you were found at an open air meeting, it was a sentence of death upon your life. You'd have been killed because you were with these illegal preachers. But they continue to preach the word of God. They continue to go through with God. They continue to live for God. And tomorrow night we're going to talk about some of the people who gave their life for Christ. Some of the people who were willing to lay down their life for the sake of the gospel. I tell you about one man who got caught and they chopped off his head, cut off his hands, and took his head and hands back to Edinburgh. And his dad was imprisoned in Edinburgh for being a Covenanter. And they got his son's head and they rolled it into the prison and says, "Do you know whose head that is? Do you know whose head that is?" People who are willing to give their life. Today, we need to turn back to the Bible. We need to turn back to the Word of God. And my prayer is, for my sessions here, and I'm sure my friends as well, my desire is that I'll hopefully whet your appetite, that you'll be willing to look into church history, to see what our brothers and sisters went through, to see what they experienced, so that you and I have got freedom. The church has lost its backbone. The church has lost its guts. And we need to stand up for Christ. If we love Him, we should stand up for Him. If we love Him, we should proclaim Him. If we love Him, we shouldn't be frightened to say He is alone is the way, the truth and the life. And we need to get back to biblical preaching. We need to preach that the Bible tells us we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we all need saved. We all need to repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's no other way you can be saved. And as I finish up, I would just like to say, in case you're here, you may be here and maybe you're a member of a church. Maybe you attend a church and maybe you've never committed your life to Christ. The Bible says whoever's name was not written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I wonder tonight, maybe this is a night where you'll get your life right with Christ. Or maybe you're here and you're a believer, but you're stuck. You know you're not living the way you should be living. You know that you're not reading the way you should be reading. You're not praying the way you should be praying. Maybe tonight you need to come and recommit your life to Christ and get your heart and your soul right with Him. That you'll live and be a light for Him in these dark days. We need to get back to preaching the Bible. We need to get back to really believing in God, believing that we need to tell people that they're sinners, believing that we need to tell people that they need to get saved. And we need to be bold with the truth. We need to be bold with the truth, with the Word of God. A well-known preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, and I use this as a finish. Spurgeon says, "You don't need to defend a lion. Just let it go and it'll defend itself." You don't need to defend a lion. You just let it go and it'll defend itself. He says you don't need to defend the Word of God. Just let the Word of God go and it'll defend itself. But our churches today, they're tickling the ears of people to keep them in their churches. They're tickling the ears of the people. Not challenging them about giving their life over to God. Not challenging them about living their life for God. And that's what we need to get back to. preaching the Word of God and proclaiming the Word of God like these Scottish Covenanters. We'll find out tomorrow night how what they experienced at the cost of living according to the truth. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, as we come before you in the name of Jesus, we know as you look over a land that must sadden your heart when we see your word being compromised, when you see people proclaiming your name but their lifestyle proclaiming something different. We pray, our Father, through these meetings that, Father, they won't just be information, but Father, you'll stir our hearts, you'll stir our minds, and Father, you'd help us to surrender our life to you, that you would be the head of our life, that you would be in charge of our life, and Father, that you would be the king of our life. And Father, we pray for all the different churches that are here today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we'll be God-fearing people, where in the pulpits the Word of God would be preached and proclaimed, and Father, the people wouldn't be robbed of truth. They wouldn't be hungry for the truth because of getting fed with the pure Word of God. Please help us, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen.